You're listening to Mommy's Playroom Podcast with your host, Christy Fetterly. I'm a mom, former educator, and author who loves to delve into the world of sexual discovery and health. Most days, you can find me typing vigorously at my computer on my farm and usually baking goodies for the kids. However, each week, I'll be popping into your ears to explore different aspects of sexuality and relationships, inviting guest experts to share what they have to say, and inviting you to join in on your own sexual
Everybody,
revolution.
today we have Dee with us, and Dee is a Reiki-infused women's circle facilitator, which we're going to learn a little bit more about today, and also our first official guest and our first video podcast, which is also a lot of firsts today. So welcome, Dee. We're excited to have you, and I'm excited to talk a little bit more with you today about all that you do, and we'll start. So I would love to get to know a little bit more about you, about your story, about what is a Reiki infused women's circle facilitator, and what are you doing in this season of life?
Yes. I don't know how much detail to give, but I'm Dee, and I grew up in the just north of San Diego in California. And I'm currently in Santa Clarita, which is about 3 hours north of that, depending on how traffic goes for you. And I grew up in a really conservative religion that has a lot of rules, especially for women, and especially regarding women's like sensuality and sexuality, how you dress, how you look, just everything related to that. I feel like there was a lot of times in my life because of that I was just like really disconnected from my own feminine self and energy. And it wasn't until my children became technically adults and became a lot, you know, more able to take care of themselves most of the time that I realized that I had all this feminine wounding and that I was, you know, existing kind of only in masculine energy and kind of turning away a lot of my feminine side, or if I was involved in my feminine side, it was in an unhealthy way. I didn't have a healthy relationship with it. And so I started doing a lot of internal work, seeing a therapist, going to coaching. After I started coaching, I realized like, hey, maybe I want to do this. I'd really like to help other women. So I enrolled in a coaching training program. And through that, went to a weekend retreat to learn more about coaching during the program. And during that, they had a women's circle, which I had kind of maybe been exposed to similar things like sound baths or things like yoga studios. But I had never specifically been to a women's circle before. And quite frankly, I didn't totally feel safe in groups of only women because I had been bullied, excluded, etc. before. So I was super nervous going into this, but it ended up being the most healing experience for me.
That's awesome.
In realizing that I could trust other women and also starting to reconnect me to my own sensuality, my own intuition, my own creativity, etc. So I was like, I need more women's circles in my life. Coaching is nice, but I need to change my focus. And so I started diving into attending any circle I could find online that was I was able to attend or in my area locally, and also like taking classes to learn how to facilitate that. And also at the same time, I became connected with a girl who is a Reiki master and helps others receive their Reiki placements. And so just, I think it was about a month ago, I felt the call. Well, it was several months ago I enrolled, but about a month ago I did the training and I got my level 1 and 2 placements. And so now I add that to the women's circles that I lead. And Reiki is like a Japanese healing mechanism that helps you relax and kind of sink in, go inward within yourself to access your own healing modalities. So it kind of complements the women's circle perfectly, where you're held in this container of safety, and then you're also held by the love of Reiki supporting your healing as well. So, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
A bit long, but that's what I do now.
No, that's great. It's such a transformation, I think. And even hearing, you know, I'm like, yeah, my kids definitely, they're almost both adults, but it's like you kind of have that moment where
you're not responsible for their everything all of the time anymore. And you can start to kind of focus on yourself a little bit, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you're like, oh man, I have so much work to do to just be a person that is my own person, right? And so I think so many of our followers also are going through that transformation and changing that season of life, right? Where you are so focused on being the provider and the caregiver that that is your sole, you know, purpose. It feels like sometimes, right? You don't even have control of your own body. You have hands all over, right? All of those things. And then you get to the point where it's like, wait, I have time to kind of refocus and reframe what I think about myself, right? Even my own sexuality and all those pieces. And so I think that's a great commonality. So you mentioned a little bit just about growing up in a really conservative, religious kind of family background, those kind of pieces, which, you know, definitely influenced your perception, I'm sure, of yourself and sexuality growing up. Like, what are some of the things that, or some of your early perceptions, and like, how has that changed and how has that been for you? Because I can only imagine it's been also a transformation. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one I think I'm still undergoing, even though I started it a very long time ago. Yeah. So the religion that I grew up in is, you know, has a lot of rules and restrictions on a lot of things, but a lot of them apply to morality and female sexuality. There's specific dress codes about, you know, lengths of shorts, lengths of dresses, mm-hmm. lengths of sleeves, how low cut things can be. There's not necessarily rules about them, but you kind of get really looked at funny if your hair mm-hmm. or makeup or whatever doesn't fall within a certain paradigm. And then absolutely any kind of self-pleasure or sex outside of the bounds of marriage is strictly, strictly forbidden. And it's literally equated to being second to murder. So it's like the worst thing that you can do other than kill another human being in that religion. So you can imagine the kind of baggage that puts on somebody.
Right.
I think that while I was still a child, I realized that I didn't totally buy into this religion, but I was a child, so I didn't really know what to do about that.
Right.
When I became a teenager and felt like I had a little more autonomy, I started rebelling against it pretty hardcore. And so I would go to school in one outfit and then change in the bathroom into something that my parents would never let me wear. And I started seeking male attention and male validation on my appearance a lot, and like kind of dressing and modeling my appearance for them. Mm-hmm. And probably not a huge surprise, but I ended up getting pregnant at 16 years old and having a baby while still in high school that I gave up for adoption. So I had all of that. And then a few years later, after high school, I had two more daughters also outside of the bounds of marriage. By then I had left the church technically, but my entire family mm-hmm. was involved in it. So I was like the lone ranger out there.
And but you did it. And you survived.
I did it. And I did. And even as I was like, you know, rebelling against what I grew up in, and even when I went to some like unhealthy levels of that, I think that it was all part of that empowerment journey so that I can now start finding more of a balanced relationship with that side of myself. But it's definitely taken, you know, 20 years plus of unpacking so far. So
no, absolutely.
It's a big job. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, congratulations on starting that journey and working on it. But I agree. It is definitely, I mean, I had a different background, probably polar opposite background in some ways. My dad was a biker. My mom was 15 when they met. She also had me at 16, but there was, you know, SWAT teams and prison and foster care in my childhood story. So, you know, definitely less of a conservative focus and more of a survival, right? Like it was, how do you survive, you know? And so I think even as a parent now, just thinking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like my husband and I were actually just talking about this. I was like, there are times where I'm like, I can't even imagine like the situations I was placed in, right? But it was still that same, I created my own rules then based on what I thought would protect me, right? And so mm-hmm. I was very much, I covered everything up. I was always, you know, very insecure about attention and what that looked like. And so kind of this transformation and just feeling more free with who I am, I think has been kind of a journey too. And it has definitely been, you know, connecting with that inner child that had some screwed up things go on, right? And like, how do I support her, right? And build myself now. And so that's kind of where this podcast actually came from, which, you know, is interesting.
I find it so beautiful that with such polar opposites of upbringings, we kind of have this similar experience where the whole journey is just learning how to be comfortable with ourselves and our feminine side.
Like, right, right.
Even though we started from very different places.
Yeah, polar opposite places. But it is very much, yeah, it is. How do I acknowledge that that is a huge piece of who I am, right? Without mm-hmm. feeling shame or insecure or that I'm being judged or whatever, right? And so it is definitely a very similar journey. When you're thinking about that journey, what advice would you offer other women who might be struggling with kind of those same, I mean, I think there's a lot of, sometimes there's guilt, there's missed opportunities, I think sometimes, because I'm like, oh my gosh, had I only had this happened when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have been, you know, so insecure about things. But there's that, like, kind of, you know, that the societal expectations and norms are also very much, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and I should be following, you know, this path of expectation, right? Whereas it's like, actually, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to just do what I want to do and not worry about it. But there's so many women, I think, that are roughly in similar places, right? Regardless of what paths they've gotten to this point, whether it's been, you know, a super conservative path or a interesting, you know, not conservative path. But what kind of advice would you give someone that's kind of just starting that process of thinking about themselves and doing some of that inner work too?
I think the most important thing to do is, as hard as it is, to try not to compare your journey to other people's journeys. We are all so unique. We're all so different. We all have different baggage that we need to unpack. And unpacking it takes a long time. So, you know, you might look at yourself and be like, oh, I'm doing such a bad job. I'm failing at all these these areas. Mm-hmm. And you may look at the woman next to you and think, she's just rocking it. But she's been working on it for 20 years longer than you have.
Right,
and,
right.
you know, she had different resources and different support and whatever. So, number one is get rid of comparison as much as you can. And number two is just really to, this is also so hard to do. They're all so much easier to say than do.
Right.
But to go within and stop mm-hmm. listening to what your parents said, what your church said, what your society said, what the news says, what magazines say, and listen to your own gut. Like, do you want to do this? Does this feel good right. to you? What does your yeah. body say about that? You know? Is your heart racing? Are you sweating? Like, maybe yeah. you don't want to do that then, you know?
Or, you know, maybe you do, but.
yeah, maybe yeah, it's no, excitement, think, but tune in.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And I think, you know, even it's so hard though, you know, because even in my child, like I've always been like, I want to prove that I'm good enough. I want to make sure that, you know, my mom is proud of me or whatever, right? And so there's even at 40 something, there's still this like, nagging little voice back there sometimes. And so I think that's great tips. And to start, it does take years, and sometimes it takes professional help to dive in and figure it out. And sometimes, right, even finding like-minded women to help support that. I think even these conversations are always so therapeutic for me in a way, because we're just, you know, we're connecting and talking about it, which hasn't happened for years for a lot of women, right?
These conversations with each other on things like this, with your friends, in women's circles, with a therapist, whatever they are, all these conversations that you have about it, they normalize it. They make you realize that you're not the only one that has these kinds of issues, and they remove the stigma, you know, so it is so important to talk about it.
I agree. Yep. And then Another question. So I know you're married. I was Instagram stalking you a little bit. But in terms of this inner work, I'm also married. I've been married. We're almost at 20 years now. It's been a long time.
Congratulations.
We like to say, oh, Thank you. We've grown up together, which is good, instead of, you know, we could have easily grown apart. But in thinking about some of this work, like, it is challenging when you're digging deep and finding new things out about yourself, but then also in thinking about a partner and keeping that spark alive and keeping right intimacy and everything going in a relationship while you're also doing this inner work, what strategies or what tips do you have for us with that?
Well, I do want to admit that I've only been married for 4 years. So, you know, I don't have 20 years. So it's a little easier still to keep the flame alive. But, you know, I think all relationships, once you're outside, maybe that initial period, you know, life gets in the way. We have jobs. My husband's an attorney. He works very long hours. There's chores, there's kids, there's bills, there's responsibility. So a lot of stuff gets in the way of that. So I think one of the most important things is taking time on a regular basis to connect with yourself. And then also taking time on a regular basis to connect with your significant other. You know, go on dates and wear something that makes you feel really sexy and beautiful, because that is going to make them think that you're really sexy and beautiful too. Yeah. You know, when you feel it, you usually look it. So just little things like that. I think try when you notice that you're getting too caught up in the day-to-day and all the chores and all the obligations, maybe step back from it just a little bit, take some time, connect with yourself, connect with them. Like, make sure you don't lose the connection in all the hustle and bustle.
No, I think that's absolutely perfect advice. And, you know, my husband and I have worked from home for the past year together, which I'm like, this is the most time we have ever spent together. And it's been amazing. But prior to that, we did fancy days. We call them fancy days because we'd get dressed up and we'd go to a fancy restaurant once a month, even if it was like something to just try something different. Right. But having that time, even if it's scheduled, right, gives you just that opportunity to reconnect. And I think that that is so important. Because there have been times, and I can look over, I mean, we've been together for 22 years, and I can look over, and there are times where kids were little and we were so busy, and you feel almost like roommates, like you're just passing, right? So there's not that romantic connection at that moment, but you have to really work to ensure that you bring it back or that you make it a priority, because ultimately jobs will come and go, right? Your spouse and hopefully your, you know, significant other is who's there for the long haul. So I definitely agree.
Yeah, making a priority is everything, because if they're not your priority, like what is?
Yeah, exactly.
You said you were going to grow old with them, so that should be a priority.
Right. I agree. All right. So when you think about the future of female sexuality and empowerment, and I feel like we're kind of at the cusp of this revolution, if you will, where some of the stereotypes and some of the norms, right, and expectations are kind of leveling out a little bit, right? And more people are just openly talking about, right, femininity, LGBTQ, all of the pieces, right? But when you think about the future of female sexuality and empowerment, what role do you think platforms like this podcast or even your own, like, women's circle, like, what role do you think those play, and where do you see this going?
I think the biggest role they play is in letting people feel safe in talking about it and in expressing themselves in those ways. So the more women that we have collectively talking about it on podcasts, in books, in private conversations with their friends, in women's circles, what have you, the more we begin to heal these wounds that we really inherited from, like, multiple generations ago, when almost all of the Western world was controlled by one or two very strict religions that quite frankly were purposely trying to disempower women, because it went against their interests of maintaining control. And at the same time, the rise of the male dominated Western medical profession. So all the old healers and midwives and doulas and all those people were targets. And so the more we bring these things back, these conversations and these old practices that we used to have, and the more women come together in community and stop trying to tear each other down and start building each other up, I think the more we can tip the scales, not to like a female dominated world, because I don't believe that that's the answer, but to a world where we're actually equal, you know, mm-hmm. where no matter what sex you are, you have a place and you are valued, right. And you're respected and you're honored.
Awesome. Yes, totally agree. All right. Did you have any closing questions or thoughts before we finish up?
I think the one thing I did want to say is that when you're on this journey of unpacking things, you're going to come across some uncomfortable emotions like mm-hmm. shame and mm-hmm. guilt and anger and sadness and just like the whole gamut of things that we as humans don't really like to feel and experience.
Right. The yucky stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. but it's really like the powerful stuff. And that's where growth comes from when we do allow ourselves to lean into that and feel it. So that's my encouragement for people when you're going through this process, is instead of numbing or distracting or trying to avoid those uncomfortable feelings, when they happen, feel it all the way. And that is how it actually like leaves you and how you mm-hmm. heal from it. So the road out is actually in. You have to go into awesome. It in order to get out of it.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun to chat with you about this.
I agree.